This April, the small nonprofit is being sponsored by Troy Mailing. That's T-R-O-I Mailing. Friends, I've personally been using Troy's printing and mailing services for almost 5 years now. I choose them for my clients, and I chose them when I was in-house. They are great to work with, always get my brand colors right, are cost-effective, and get my mailouts to my donors on time, even during busy seasons. Call 1-866-876-4624 for a free $100 postage credit when you use promo code DONORDM1 on your next campaign. Thank you, Troy Mailing, for sponsoring the small nonprofit.
Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast with down-to-earth practical advice on how to get things done in your small organization. You are going to change the world and we can help. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anya McGlynn.
Hi, everyone.
So this is a conversation that I think is so interesting with Mary Barrel from Talent Egg. Now, basically, we're kind of done talking about millennials in the workforce.
I just literally figured out what a millennial was, and now we're moving on.
And now we're done. It's not that there's not a role for millennials in the workforce, but more and more organizations are starting to look to Gen Z as the future of our workplaces and how to engage and employ them.
That's right. As an old millennial, I guess I technically am. I think I'm on
We're
the
10X.
Cusp. Okay, fine.
Technically.
Fine. But anyway, as an old millennial, I'm holding that position. Please don't at me. I think it's absolutely right that we start looking at, you know, who are the real young people who are coming into the workforce. And, you know, they are people who are in their early 20s, mid-20s, people who were born when I graduated high school. That's another issue for another podcast. But, yeah, I think that this is invaluable insight as to, you know, how they actually differ from the millennial generation that we've spent so much time and attention focusing on fostering.
Absolutely. And I love this because we're in a position where we love hiring young people at our company, but I think it's a huge opportunity for small organizations, right? You don't necessarily have a big budget. You can't always hire someone with 25 years of experience.
Or even not 5 years.
Even 5 years. Even if that's, you know, not whether or not that's the right thing regardless. But I think that there's such an opportunity for us to leverage our strengths as not-for-profit organizations and actually provide meaningful work to Gen Z. And what I love about this interview, some of the things that Gen Z is looking for is around impact, you know, feeling like they're making a difference with their work. The good news is that they're staying in organizations for longer and they want to do things. They want to get their hands dirty. They want to try things. I mean, for better or for worse, we often associate millennials with a sense of entitlement, and apparently that's not the case with Gen Z.
That's right. I think there's a sort of starting from scarcity mentality that comes with the fact that, you know, they were born sort of slightly after a recession. They experienced a recession then again as they were sort of teenagers. So they have a hustle. They know how to get stuff done, and so I think that's just an invaluable skill that you're looking for your organization.
We love a good hustle. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So with that, please take a listen and hear all about how you can start to hire and engage Gen Z. Mary Barrel, president of Talent Egg, is an online business executive and lawyer with a background in media, technology, and IP law. A former CBC journalist and TV producer, in 2013, she was appointed general counsel and VP Media Affairs at CharityVillage.com, Canada's largest job portal for charities and nonprofits in Canada. And as you know, we love them because they co-produce this podcast. In 2016, Mary took the reins as president of TalentEgg.ca, Canada's number one and award-winning job board and online career resource that connects top employers with top students and grads with highly targeted, engaging employer branding and recruitment services. Please join me in welcoming Mary.
Well, thank you, Cindy. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you because I think we have all these misconceptions about working with young people, and it's a great resource for organizations, especially small ones that don't have necessarily a big budget. But before we get started on all the hows, I think it's important to define the what. Can you help us understand of that vast universe of young talent out there? What? How do we categorize them or think about them, and how does that inform how they like to work?
Right. I mean, I think you would agree with me that the word millennial has mm-hmm. been used it's ubiquitous, really, in media for a number of years. And we've really been kind of, I would say, almost preoccupied with what millennials want and who millennials are and the impact of millennials on the workplace. But the fact of the matter is they already have made their impact. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge demographic and one that's now becoming quite mature. Millennials are 22 to 37 years old. So it's a massive demographic. They're already in the workplace. They're probably already, some of them, in management roles. And so what we think of when we think of campus recruitment or a young person, often that terminology is being confused with this ongoing sort of categorization of millennials, and it's simply not true anymore. They're no longer the ones that are applying for the internships or the co-ops or those entry-level roles. Increasingly now, it's the next generation, and they're not the same as millennials. They share some attributes. But they also have a lot of different values that are extremely important to them that really distinguish them from the behavior that we saw and observed for the last decade and more from millennials.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Gen Z then, right?
Yeah. Gen Z is the cohort that was born in the mid-1990s into the 2000s. And, they're the generation that was completely grew up both digital natives, but also wirelessly. Mm-hmm. They're constantly, particularly on their mobile phones. I mean, they grew up with, a computer in their pocket. And so they have a lot of different attributes that are similar to millennials, but often quite different. Apparently their attention span is 2 seconds shorter than millennials was known to be.
Wow.
At 8 seconds instead of 10. And so they have this native capacity to understand digital media. And so when you're trying to attract young people, you really have to understand what it is that they're interested in and how to engage them very quickly, because you don't have much of an opportunity to get a second chance with them. Mm-hmm. They are also very much, as a good quality, they're really fabulous multitaskers because of being constantly bombarded with media, being quick to be able to figure out how technology works, even if they don't necessarily, they don't need to learn in the same way. They can actually intuitively figure out technology in a much more speedy and sort of hands-on way than their parents might, for example, and even millennials. Mm-hmm. And they are also have some really interesting qualities that really impact their career paths and their desires and the way that they behave in the workplace. That's as a result of, who they are. Gen Z were very different from millennials because millennials really grew up in an economic boom time, in a technological boom time, whereas, Gen Z grew up in the shadow of a global recession. And interestingly, their parents are typically Gen X, which is the generation that came before millennials. And Gen X also grew up in the shadow of a major recession. Mm-hmm. So that has influenced how they experience the world and what their expectations might be. And then, of course, the parents' influence have a great deal to do with how their attitudes towards work and their attitudes towards their future prosperity and security have developed. And so we see a lot of different attitudes in Gen Z than we characteristically, unfairly, in some cases, saw generalizations about millennials.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about those and how they impact what Gen Z is looking for in terms of their beginning of their careers.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do these surveys every year where we actually go into our community of users of our websites. The website provides a lot of career advice and job postings. And what we do is we go to them and do major surveys to try to basically get a sense of who they are, what they're looking for, what their values are, and what would really, really excite them about an employer. And that helps us provide services to our employers when we're trying to help them get their employer branding out or their, to post their jobs effectively and how to recruit effectively by making sure they understand the way young people think. And so we've been doing these surveys and we found that, there's a lot of changes in terms of what is really meaningful to them. For example, 41% of Gen Z students responded to our survey saying that professional experience development was the most important thing that an employer can provide to a young person mm-hmm. in order to both attract them, but also to retain them over time. So they're really into continuous learning. They see in a much more kind of holistic way that they believe that they have to put in their time before they can expect to advance. That is in sharp contrast mm-hmm. to millennials that were conceived of as really sort of job hoppers, was how they were known. and in fact, they have an anticipation, Gen Z says that they have an anticipation of staying in the job much longer. So the average time that a millennial stayed in a job at the beginning of the career was 18 months. In the case of Gen Z, they're expecting to stay in a job from 3 to 6 years in their first job. That's what their anticipation is. So you see a big change. Now, that doesn't mean they won't leave if they're not being provided with what they're looking for on the job. But I think it actually gives you an insight into their perspective as they start their career search.
And that's so interesting, especially the focus on experience and learning, because I feel like, and this might be our industry, but I think generally we look at young people coming into the workforce and automatically I've seen organizations say, great, let's give them the social media. Let's give them these things that they are quote unquote native in and that they are probably have skill sets that we don't have. And so we kind of want them to do those, but that's not necessarily great learning or opportunity for growth for them. So can you tell me a little bit about what kinds of, I mean, obviously there's a huge spectrum, but thinking in the nonprofit sector, or if you have any insight around outside of the traditional social media roles, what are the things that people are looking for, either in terms of specific job function or in terms of what that ongoing learning looks like?
Well, I think they recognize and that, you know, what employers have been actually observing for a while with young people that they've brought on board is that they're lacking some of the communication and other sorts of soft skills that people typically learn with experience. So, increasingly this cohort actually works part-time at a pretty high average. It's over 70% are working part-time before they actually start going to university or during the time that they're going to university, which is a larger percentage than previous young people among millennials. And what that means is that they're actually kind of taking on board work experience that gives them some of those core competencies like communication, teamwork, analytical thinking, problem solving, those kinds of things that actually being in a job and on the workforce actually trains you in by giving you that kind of hands-on experience. And so they're increasingly looking for those sorts of opportunities. They recognize that that's one of their weak points. They typically have very strong technical skills, and I don't just mean technology skills, but they may graduate with, from university or college with strong technical skills that are come out of their particular program they were studying, but they don't have the sort of work experience that provides them with these core competencies that are so needed by employers. So I think what they need to be provided is an opportunity to really get into the actual day-to-day business of the organization. And, you know, frequently it's a real advantage to the not-for-profit sector, which are often smaller organizations where people have to wear many hats. That's something that young people would really appreciate doing because it gives them access to different kinds of perspectives on the overall sort of working of the organization. It also appeals to another element that is really characteristic of Gen Z, and that's their desire to be part of something bigger. This mm-hmm. is something that they share with millennials in the fact that, you know, they're very interested in having a career with some kind of social impact. So for the not-for-profit sector, I mean, it's a really great message for them to be able to feel that they're part of an organization that's giving back to community and to society in a meaningful way. And if the more that you can do to make them understand that and actually see the results, the better that they'll feel engaged in the kind of work that they're doing with their group. So if, you know, as you say, if you put them in a role that's, entirely about running their social media campaign, well, that's cool. They would do a great job. But, you know, they want to see something that's more significant, more meaningful, more substantive in terms of what their contribution to the greater good actually is by working with your organization. Mm-hmm. So that sort of in the field, real life experience is really something that they would appreciate a great deal.
That's so great. I mean, big score for our sector because it already is a huge sector, right? We underestimate and often undervalue the role that nonprofits play in the economy in Canada, but this is a huge opportunity for us to really build that into the future of our workforce, which is great. And I do think that there's such a great way to give people exposure to their impact. And we see that in for-profit companies, but I definitely see the advantage of being in this sector when it comes to that. Yay for us. So impact is important. Soft skill building, and I would even go on to say like mentorship might be part of that, but what are the other, is there anything else that we really need to check? Any other box we need to check in terms of job satisfaction for Gen Z?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a little bit tougher to do for smaller organizations, but I think, what is very meaningful to them is seeing a future career path. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you have a smaller organization, you have a much less of a sort of an ongoing upward path, to go through the ranks. But that being said, again, this capacity to be able to do, to take on different kinds of responsibilities in different areas of the organizations or different departments provides that sort of continuous learning that they look for, and also allows them to sort of imagine themselves in a more meaningful way of having an ongoing career with that organization in the future. Smaller industries, even in the for-profit world, a smaller business gives a young person the opportunity of taking on responsibility more quickly than, say, in a large enterprise organization. And that's a huge advantage for small organizations in the not-for-profit sector because I think that they, just by, needs must and necessity, there's a way of actually getting them involved more quickly and them taking on more responsibility, which is a very meaningful way that they can sort of see a potential career path. And that's very significant to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice or feedback? I know for our listeners and for Jenna, I can talk about my experience in this too. It's often really hard to delegate, or like it feels technically difficult. We might be on board with giving those opportunities, but sometimes, especially when there are so many hats and when you have to really invest in taking the time to train well and spend the time making sure that they're well equipped to run with projects, that in and of itself feels overwhelming or like a barrier. Do you have any advice to people who are hiring on how they can build that into their culture?
Yeah, I think I have a personal view on it myself because I run a small business, and it's really about being able to get a certain comfort with a little risk, combined with, I would say, being more inclusive in terms of being able to take the young person under your wing, provide them with an opportunity to see how you do different tasks or projects. They can become a part of supporting you in doing it. And then just having the courage and to let them spread their wings and try it. And with some supervision, of course, and being able to just let go and see how well they do. I found over and over again that the upside has been really significant when I provided my young employees with an opportunity to really run with projects. And as long as expectations are clear, there's some support and training and ongoing sort of capacity to be able to correct the ship as they go along, you know, being open to giving them feedback on a continual basis, which is also something that they really, really appreciate within a workplace culture. I think you'll find that young people are really well prepared to take on bigger projects with the sufficient amount of support from management.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do that in our company as well. And I agree, we've seen people really grow into their jobs by giving them what we call stretch assignments, right? Like letting them grow into the work. And for us, it's really been about checks and balances. So, you know, making sure that mistakes are welcome and encouraged, but that they're caught before they become disasters, right? Like we all learn by doing, and we all learn from making mistakes and self-correcting. So how do you, it's about creating that space to do that, I think is really valuable for anyone, not just Gen Z, right? Like we all need to grow. So I think that's really valuable insight.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. And I can relate back to my own career. The time that I was most successful throughout my career was those moments when I really stretched myself and I had a manager who was prepared to give that a go and take a chance on me. And I think people will step up and take the responsibility that's provided to them, provided that they're given enough support along the way so that they can correct themselves if they're going down the wrong path. I actually think that it's really a great advantage within an organization like a smaller business or, a small nonprofit, where you have the luxury of being able to do that, because large organizations, large corporations can't do that as effectively. They have too many sort of procedures and policies in place. And I think they have greater difficulty in giving more flexibility based on the personality and the character of the individual employee. So in some ways, you know, it's a huge advantage to be smaller.
Absolutely. We love being small but mighty. And I know our listeners are predominantly small organizations. So that's such a, again, I feel like we're in a really great place to take advantage of this new workforce. So with that in mind, how do we find them? Because that's the other thing. I've actually talked to a number of organizations recently that are looking for talent, and they're not seeing those applications come in at what do we look for? Where do we look for them? How do we test some of these things?
Right. I mean, first of all, I think you have to get your messaging straight. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I think the not-for-profit sector has a huge advantage with the wonderful story that they can tell. You know, we've got, you know, 75% of our graduates ranked social responsibility and social impact as very important to their career searches and where they would like to land in terms of their jobs. So being able to tell that story in an effective way to a young person is really impactful. And what we do is when we're helping employers try to communicate their employer brand is that we make sure the content that we create on behalf of our employers has a young person speaking. We interview young people that are recent hires within an organization to let them tell their story to potential candidates. We do that in video. We do that in editorials. We do that in a variety of different kinds of content and social media. And that's what we use. We know that the peer-to-peer sort of communication is the most effective way to have an authentic kind of experience where the young person really gets insight into what it might be like for a young person like themselves to join that organization. And so, you know, having somebody who's part of your team who you trust that can reflect your culture and your values and your core values effectively to an audience of young people is really important. And then it's also choosing which of the platforms would be most effective. I mean, I know a lot of employers who think that they're doing an awesome job because they've got a really big marketing campaign for their jobs on Facebook. And, you know, what we've seen in terms of our which is great. You know, Facebook is great. It's used by a lot of people, but the demographics are absolutely stunning in terms of where Gen Z is going. And Gen Z, remember, are the ones that will be applying for your internships and co-ops, et cetera. And, you know, the difference between 216 and 218 in terms of where they go for their most most of their communication and where they learn about the world is that they've gone now to Instagram by a long shot. It's just a massive shift from Facebook to Instagram. And Facebook, who owns Instagram, knows that. So, you know, they're increasingly promoting themselves to a younger demographic and keeping Facebook for the, you know, the older millennials. So those that might even be starting families at this time. And you can tell by the way that they market those two platforms, the audience that they believe that they have and that they want. So if you're trying to get students and young people to get involved and engaged with your employer branding, and you're focusing on people who might be coming, just graduating out of school, you want to make sure that you have some presence on Instagram because that's now the number one place where they go. And they have told us in their surveys that, you know, 95% have said that their favorite place to go and find out about jobs is online. So on job boards and in career resources like Talendic and Charity Village and places like that. But also YouTube is another a place where they look at. We know that that's where they prefer to find out about employers is on the social media platforms that they go to. And increasingly, it's no longer Facebook, it's now more on Instagram. The other big shift is they're very interested, and this is probably, you know, they grew up with YouTube, obviously. And they even go online and they want to actually learn using video. It's the medium, it's the king of media to communicate with young people. So we do a lot of employer branding videos where we actually go in and interview young people within an organization. And we use those that video content to describe the culture, the career path, the other kinds of attributes that make that particular employer very attractive as an employer. And then we put it on both online, on their career site, on our job board and career site, and then we also put it on social media as well. We adapt the video content for social media to make sure that we're getting the message out on the platforms and in the media that we know that the target candidate is actually on and using. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great insight, but I can imagine people thinking like, whoa, that's a lot of work. And I suspect I kind of know the answer, which is it doesn't have to be perfect or polished, right? Like, tell us a little bit about our expectations around production value versus what people are actually looking for in terms of authenticity.
Yeah, so we're doing, we actually do some videos with very high production values that they don't look corporate, but they do have good quality camera work in them and editing. And we do those as sort of an employer branding toolkit. But increasingly, employers are also using their own employees to just do videos on their phone and uploading them to platforms. We encourage that, and we also, you know, you can do all sorts of things now at a low cost that is really sort of more homegrown. You know, you can do Instagram Live takeovers. You can do, you know, Facebook Live. You can do all sorts of things using just your phone and the sort of editing tools that they provide you to put together short little videos that you can put on Instagram and really liven up your recruitment campaign for young people.
Yeah, I think we see that across generations, which is authenticity wins every time over production. We see that in fundraising with donors. We see that with clients. It's always much more effective to not let technology stand in your way, but leverage what you have and what you can use and just get something out there. And I know we agreed not to talk about onboarding, but I think that insight around video is relevant to the onboarding process and training. And maybe you can talk about it in terms of retention, but we often will use videos now to onboard our new staff because there's some things that all new staff need to know, and I don't need to sit down with them time after time. So we use it for onboarding, but is that a tool for employee retention as well?
I don't know about employee retention. I think it's a useful tool for onboarding. As you say, then you don't have to keep doing it over and over again in real time. To have a recording for certain policies or procedures in the office is great. And especially if you need to train them on safety matters, I mean, those kind of videos are fantastic, especially if they can watch it at will or repeat it afterwards. You know, it just gives a lot more flexibility and you can be sure that they actually consumed it when it's in that format. For ongoing retention, I think less screen time is better for this particular demographic. While they do enjoy to learn using video, that's unquestionable. What they tell us in the surveys is that they're really, really desperate for some FaceTime. They really want to have a meaningful relationship with their managers. They want feedback. They want to be able to get a sense of belonging to something that is part of the team, the community that the organization is providing within its culture. It's, I think putting a screen up is a big mistake in that stage, unless you've got some sort of international or, I guess, territorial sort of offices in many different parts of Canada or different parts of the world, in which case, you know, actually doing, Skyping or other sorts of video kinds of conferencing is extremely valuable. And that would be appreciated. But I don't think that within a workforce itself, within the actual workplace of the organization, is the best way to connect with them. They are really looking for real relationship.
Mm-hmm. So high touch, but native to technology, which is such a great juxtaposition in and of itself. But I think it really makes it easy, right? You don't have to be limited by the technology, but what it comes down to is those really personal connections. And as you said, the connection to the cause, which more and more people are looking for. So
yeah, totally. Sorry, to the point about retention, you know, I think that's increasingly a really meaningful part of why a young person wants to stay within a role and within an organization is the relationships that they build within it. One thing that we do know as well about Gen Z that's different from millennials, and this is reflected in how quickly they change jobs, which is much, much less frequent, is the fact that they, job security in and of itself is a very significant factor for them. So if you, your organization has a record of having employees stay within the job with the organization for a longer period of time, that's a great thing for them to know because, you know, they, as I said earlier, were impacted by growing up in a recession and so too were their parents. So they're much more realistic about their expectations and also some security and stability is very meaningful to them. So I think it's worthwhile that if an organization has that kind of a record, it's also a good message for them so that they know that it's a place where they can really put down roots and grow within the organization.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of small organizations have great employee retention, people who've been there for a very long time. So again, I think that's something we can really leverage. What else should we be looking at around retention? So we talked about longevity. We've talked about the opportunity to really develop skills, especially those soft skills. We've talked about the impact that we have in our work. Is there anything else that we should be looking at leveraging to make sure that our young employees are happy and continuing to be satisfied in their job?
So beyond the kind of warmer culture that they are looking for and meaningful relationships with management and coworkers, I think the one thing that we kind of touched on in connection with continuous learning is the capacity to be able to provide them with opportunities to potentially rotate through different departments. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations are, including in their sort of expectations of the employee, depending on their skill sets, but and their training, an opportunity to rotate through different departments or different sort of roles, and what that provides them with. Yes, it is continuous learning for them, but it also kind of touches on that aspect of feeling like they're getting real experience and they're also being able to, they don't feel like they're stuck in a rut. They're mm-hmm. they're getting a different sort of perspective on the organization, the kind of work that they do, and can relate to the cause, the greater cause that the organization is involved in a more meaningful way when they see it from different perspectives. I think everyone does have that experience when they have broader experience across different roles or different departments. And that's true with young people as well. And for them, it feels like they're getting a more of a 360 kind of perspective of the organization itself and the larger impact it has on the world.
Mm-hmm, that's so great. Little hard with smaller organizations if there aren't many things, but I know that there are always so many things to juggle. So it might not look like a rotation department, but you know, certainly if the executive director can offload different things at different times, which I do think is very feasible, you can really develop young talent. And I just want to remind our listeners of the podcast episode we did with Leanne Picot talking about succession planning and future-proofing your organization, because I think these two conversations are really linked and very, they inform each other. So that's really, really helpful.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where can our listeners learn more about Talent Egg in particular and what you do?
Sure. They can find us online at www.talentegg.ca or .com, and they can take a look at our our website, we have a lot of free resources for young people to be able to learn how to make the school to work transition, how to prepare themselves to do a better job of presenting themselves to potential employers. And we also have as well, you know, integrated into that a lot of information about different employers that we work with to help get their message out to their target candidates across Canada and the world. We also have a number of job postings that are part of we create customized employer profiles that are like mini microsites within our website, where we tell that employer's story in a more sort of deep dive kind of way, and put some of their content on so that young people can navigate and explore what it would be like to work with that organization. And so it's a really effective tool as well. We're constantly publishing on our blog called The Incubator, a lot of information about employers and career tips for young people. We have as well for the not-for-profit sector a free job posting for volunteer postings, which I think is really, we're really excited about doing it in partnership with Charity Village. So it's free. If you're looking for volunteers for any of your upcoming campaigns or for your organization, feel free to post on our volunteer job board that's free to the not-for-profit sector. And as well, right now, when you post jobs at Charity Village, we also offer you an opportunity to post at Talent Egg for young people, and also to our other sister company called Be Meaningful, which is about jobs with impact. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity to widen the scope of any of their job postings for free.
Amazing. Mary, thank you so much for your time today and all the incredible work you've done in terms of understanding Gen Z and making sure that we can leverage that understanding to provide great opportunities to develop young talent. I think that is such an incredible opportunity for small organizations to leverage. So we really appreciate all your work there.
It's my pleasure.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.